Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Welcome to this bonus episode of Sound Opinions. I'm Jim DeRogatis. My co-host is, of course, Greg Kot. But for this episode, our news contributor and friend, Althea Legospi, has a great feature from a whole bunch of familiar names from the 80s and 90s indie rock underground. The main ones to know are Wink O'Bannon, the former guitarist for 11th Dream Day, and Tara Key of Antietam, a fantastic band originally from Louisville and then New York, Hoboken, that came up in the mid-80s alongside 11th Dream Day and Yola Tango and other friends from that era. So let's turn to our beloved correspondent, Althea Legospi. You spoke with Antietam's Tara Key about the album His Majesty's Request, a Wink O'Bannon select. This is a record that benefits Girls Rock Louisville and Amped that came about in a really interesting way.
Yeah, it all started when Antietam headed to Louisville in the summer of 2019. They had kind of a Babylon dance band styled reunion.
Tara Key's first band was Babylon Dance Band, Althea, and they were real harbingers of that new wave era explosion of modern Southern rock, like Pylon, like B-52s, like R.E.M.
Exactly.
And they got back together years and years later.
So here's Tara talking about Wink. How the initial idea first came up to help raise money when you first found out about Wink's cancer?
We played just a really magical show on the banks of the Ohio with some old friends. And Wink played with us during that set, which every time I came to Louisville, he was my man. I wanted him on my stage. I wanted to jam with him. It was a little mini set that Chip Nold, our singer, took the stage, me and Tim. And Wink was playing. And it was just, you know, as usual, when I played with Wink, it was like being on a roller coaster, doing like synchronized tumbling, like, you know, sparring. Like at one point, we just jammed our guitars together and made this like beautiful squeal. So it was a really moving experience. And then it was about 3 or 4 months after that that he like let me know that he was sick.
So Tara wanted to help her friends, and she had this idea of getting an album together with all of their friends, but not telling Wink at all about it. And it would all have Wink's favorite songs, and they would help raise funds for his treatment.
He's such a scholar of music. If you go to his website, Hammer of the Dogs, he's got playlists. Not only does he document many, if not most, of the Louisville bands from the 70s, 80s, 90s, but he also has playlists that he's compiled about country music, rock, jazz, anything. I wanted to pick his brain, get him, trick him into telling me his 10 favorite songs, and then I wanted to grab some folks who loved him, our peers, to record versions with Antietam, kind of being Antietam karaoke, if you will, and to put this out to benefit him with his expenses while he was undergoing treatment, because he's a bartender. He couldn't work any longer. So I texted him just kind of casually, said, so Wink, you know, if your feet were put to the fire, what would be your top 10 favorite songs of all time? And oh my Lord, it was just like a day full of text messages from him. Like he was just so put into an absolute panic to have to settle on 10 songs. And all day he would just write me, say, how can I leave out this New Order song? How can I leave out this song that James Burton plays perfect guitar on? How can I leave out this Beatles song? I don't know, spin the roulette wheel and pick one of these Stones songs. And it went on and on and on and on. And by the end of the night, he wrote me and said, here's a list of 50. I cannot do any better than this. If you ask me tomorrow, they'll probably be all different.
Greg, I'm surprised you weren't tapped for that album, being the biggest Wink O'Bannon fan in the world from his days in 11th Dream Day.
Well, yeah. I mean, Rick Rizzo, the 11th Dream Day co-founding member, main guitarist, songwriter, to this day, misses Wink. He was such a valuable part of that band. It always, in his mind, it was always a two-guitar band. And when Baird Figge had to leave because, you know, he got married and had a family, Wink was the obvious choice for that spot. And carried on in that tradition. So yeah, a big part of 11th Dream Day, as well as, you know, influencing countless other musicians.
So Rick Rizzo and Janet Bean of 11th Dream Day are on this record. Who else? It seems like everybody's on this record, Althea.
Oh yeah, there's at least 18 people that were involved. So there's Freak Waters, Catherine Irwin, there's members of Yolo Tengo, as you mentioned, Rick Rizzo and Janet Beam, Doug McCombs, David Grubbs, Will Oldham is on this record. And then there's this band, Juanita, that Wink actually had a hand in helping mentor also.
So, you know, it's a testament to how beloved Wink O'Bannon is in the musical underground that so many people were eager to come forward. But Tara gave special props to, as MVP of this album, to whom?
James McNew. He ended up mixing and mastering it. And I guess he was sort of her go-to for all technological things. So in order to, like, sort of, as she had said, he had come up with 50 songs. Mm. And she thought, well, I wanted to have 10. It ended up with 15. So what she did... So what she did is, and she didn't tell Wink anything about this. It was supposed to be a surprise. So she circulated the list amidst all those friends of his and hers. And they started sort of paring it down and starting to track the music. And she kept it quiet for a while. But then about a month before he died in June 2020, she told him.
I told him of the existence of the project, and I think he was pretty bemused by it. And so I didn't play anything for him, and that's a regret that I have. So, I mean, one thing I would say to people is if you have an impulse to do something kind for somebody or tell somebody something you need to tell them, just do it, because that's the one thing that kind of stabs at my heart that he didn't hear any of it.
After a quick break, we will get to hear some of the album. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island has been brewing award-winning beers in Chicago that are inspired by this city. Take 312 Lemonade Shandy, Tropical Beer Hug Double IPA, and a rotating series of hazy IPAs only available in Chicago. You know, every time we go down to Goose Island, there's another one that they're pushing on us.
That's right.
They're all good.
Absolutely. And what supporters of musical culture, you know, in the city of Chicago and elsewhere, if you go to a show in Chicago and you see that Goose Island sign, you know you're in good hands. They're music fans as well as great beer makers at Goose Island. So we're really proud to be associated with them.
The Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find IPAs, lemonade, shandy, and limited releases in-store or at one of Goose's venues in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. We're back with Sound Opinions news contributor Althea Legospi talking about Tara Key's tribute to the late Wink O'Bannon. So we mentioned James McNew as an MVP of this album, along with Tara Key. McNew, of course, is the longtime bass player of Yola Tango. I'll insert here my my connection to both Yola Tango and Antietam. I've told this story before. When both of those bands were starting out, they played like every Tuesday or Wednesday for the entire summer at Maxwell's, a residency. And I went every week.
In Hoboken.
In Hoboken. Maxwell's in Hoboken. I saw them every week for like 10 weeks. And,
right.
And it was phenomenal to see these bands take shape. That was before McNew was in the band. So what did they decide to do after Wink died, Althea?
I mean, obviously, they were very distraught, and because the album was intended to help raise funds for Wink, and then they spent a lot of soul searching. And then, as Tara tells us here, they came up with a new plan.
And so when that disappeared, and it's in the middle of the pandemic, we were kind of like, okay, so this is too bad, because this is sounding really great and don't want to throw in the towel on it. So we gave a lot of thought to the fact that he did care about educating folks, not only about how to play music, but also just kind of broadening their knowledge horizons. And we thought that he would think it was cool if we could find a couple of charities in Louisville that benefited kids and through, you know, self-discovery through music. And so we settled on a couple of charities in Louisville, Amped and Girls Rock Louisville.
Tell us a little bit about some of Wink's favorite songs. I mean, this, to me, the most fascinating part of this project is extracting, you know, his list. Because I know that Wink could talk about music for hours, and he probably had 500 songs that he could have put on this record.
Well, one of the ones that Tara was like, I knew even before I sent the list out, was Walk Away, Renee.
Just walk away, Renee. You won't see me follow you back home.
Tara wanted it, but Sue Garner from Fish and Roses and the Shams ended up getting it.
One thing is Walk Away, Renee. Obviously, it was in the first text because it's a conversation that we have had for decades when, like, you know, when the conversation would roll around to what's the best song ever, it would always come up between us because, and very specifically, we agreed on this one fact that in the chorus, the You Won't See Me Follow You Back Home, it's just a combination of the instrumentation and Carol's voice that's just like this keening wail pierce to the heart. And that to me, and I think he seconded this, it's in the top five like milliseconds of rock and roll for me. And I think he agreed with that. That was a song that I knew he was going to say, and he said it. And at first I kind of wanted to take the song and do it. And so then Sue Garner, who knew Wink too, like saw the list and she's just like, oh, I've got to have Walk Away, Renee. And I was kind of like, well, I want Walk Away, Renee. And then I was like, you know what? Sue is going to sing the hell out of this song. And then we thought of including James McNew, who has the voice of an angel. And it just, it slays me still every time I hear it on this record. I mean, those guys. And then add in David Grubbs's perfect rendition of the guitar, like he did the solo, which I think is kind of, I forget what the instrumentation is. It is like a horn of some sort, I think, but he did it on guitar. It's just like amazing. I mean, there's so many moments on this record that I feel so fortunate to even have like a finger in, you know. It's just, and that's one of them.
That's the left Bank was the band in the 60s who recorded the song originally and wrote it. And it is a beautiful orchestral pop ballad.
It a perfect pop song, many people have said. So were there any real surprises?
You know, I asked her about that because I thought with such a long list, there might be like, that one's kind of a surprise. She said there weren't necessarily surprises because as you have both brought up, he was very just knowledgeable and deep with his music knowledge. So it was eclectic, and that was what she expected. She said she didn't really use the word surprise for this. She said that it was she wasn't expecting two Nick Cave songs to be on the list.
Mm.
But other than that, she did bring up one that she thought was really funny.
There's nothing that surprised me. I mean, Goodbye Pork Pie Hat, I just kind of was joking to Wolf, our friend, saying, yeah, somebody really wants to hear Aunt Tina's version of Goodbye Pork Pie Hat. That would be a disaster. So I'll do it. So then he did that track.
So, Althea, did they take any liberties with these cover songs?
Yes. Actually, it's really interesting. Tara was talking about the Donovan track, getting a bit of a twist. From Kathy Irwin, she ended up doing some research and found some lost lyrics that ended up on the track.
To find that I was by the sea, gazing with tranquility. Tis then when the hurdy-gurdy man came singing songs of love. Then when the hurdy-gurdy man came singing songs.
The thing that Kathy did, which was amazing, that Wink would have loved, is that when Donovan's kind of unclear, actually, about when he wrote the song. In some interviews, he says he didn't write it in India when they went to the Maharishi with the Beatles. And in some interviews, he says he did. But at any rate, apparently, while they were in India, George Harrison wrote a verse for the song. And so Donovan did not include that verse in the song when he recorded it, which apparently kind of miffed George. And so Kathy found that verse and she restored it to the song. She sings it kind of over the outro of the last bit of the song. She's singing the lost George Harrison verse, and Wink would have loved that. And it's just like, that's amazing.
And then Tara had her own choice that she added that wasn't on Wink's list.
Yeah, it was one of the songs from his solo album that she really felt more people needed to hear, and she obviously had strong emotions about it.
We did a song of his called Hundred. And so from his website that I mentioned earlier, he put up a lot of stuff that he recorded just by himself over the last few years or so. And there was this really beautiful song called The Fox Song. And it was in the same key as 100. So at the end of 100, when I, you know, go off on one of my excursion solos, I flew Wink in to play with him one last time. And it's intense. I mean, when I did it, I mean, poor Tim. I mean, he sat in this one room through a pandemic, having me basically break into tears about every time I did something on the record, like playing the harpsichord part on Walk Away, Renee. I literally could not get through it for an afternoon because every time I would do it, the combination of the part I was telling you about and then me recreating that part for this purpose, it was just like devastating. Anyway, on the end of 100, I flew in this solo, so we play together one last time, and the whole last 90 seconds of the record is just Wink playing by himself. And I really wanted him to have the last word, so. I wonder why I wasted time.
His Majesty's Request, a Wink O'Bannon Select, benefits Girls Rock Louisville and AMPT, the Academy of Music Production, Education, and Development in Louisville. It can be found on Bandcamp and other streaming platforms. It was a true pleasure hearing you chat with my old friend and Greg's as well, Tara Althea. And it's getting a double vinyl release. Is that true?
Yeah, it's a label in Norway is putting out a new imprint later this year, and it'll be on that.
Cool. And she gave you a hint that there's going to be a new Antietam release?
Yeah. So this fall, she's planning an archival release of their first two albums. It'll be the first time they'll be offered digitally. And then also she's planning a Babylon Dance Band set of practice and live music.
All right. Thank you, Sound Opinions news contributor and all-around wonderful person, Althea Legazpi.
That's it for this bonus episode of Sound Opinions. This episode was produced by Althea Legazpi, Andrew Gill, and Alex Claiborne. Our associate producer is Sol Delgadillo, and our intern is Mary Bernthal. Our social media consultant is Katie Cott. Thanks for listening.